Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, let me see. Mark, how you doing? Are you all right?
I'm good. I'm grand on yourself.
I'm very good indeed. This is the voice of Mark O'Halloran because there's a new play at the Dublin Theatre Festival. It's called Conversations After Sex. It looks at some of the themes of our time: isolation, searching for human connection, etc. The play is the latest from the... You are an award-winning actor, of course. Like a writer and actor. I keep forgetting that.
A couple of gongs, all right. A
couple of gongs, indeed, yeah. Anyway, I presume you've been pretty busy lately because you might have seen him in the brilliant The Virtues on Channel 4. Now, when I say The Brilliant, I've been told it's brilliant. I haven't seen it. Is that bad that I haven't seen it?
You've got time. It's still
I have time.
It's still out there in the world.
Right,
so
okay. I've got time. I'm not
the
dead.
Next time I meet you, better have seen it.
Right, okay. But anyway, also as a writer on the screen adaptation of Sally Rooney's Conversations with Friends, I think you did about 3 of the 12 of those, is that it? Or something like that?
I did 3 of the 12 of them, yeah.
Okay. And basically, you're going to talk about all of this. So, it is busy. You are now. And just as you sat down there and took the mask off, you said, God, isn't it great? Like, there's live things happening. You can go to the cinema, even though it's not 100%. You can go to a play, even though it's not 100%. It's all better than what it was, isn't it?
It is better than what it was. But we were also talking about what our lockdowns were like. And I think for someone like me, I live alone. So, so lockdown, you kind of have to face yourself a lot.
I hope Delia's not listening.
Delia the cat, she's listening at home, all right. But she didn't come till halfway through the lockdown.
All right, okay.
It was the intense loneliness of
lockdown. So Delia saved you.
She did. Right. That cat has been a godsend to me.
Right. Okay, let's just take a look at the other stuff, though, because first of all, The Virtues. What is it? Tell me about it, and why have I not been a good person and seen it?
The Virtues is a Shane Meadows TV series.
Yes.
So he's very famous because he did This Is England and Room for Romeo Brass, Dead Men's Shoes. He's got a particular way of working, and he creates a particular type of drama. His television work in particular is... It's really intense. It's improvisational in the way it's made. And he shows things. He shows types of scenes. There are certain sections of This Is England. You've never seen anything like it.
Yeah,
on television
I saw This
before.
Is England. Well, I mean, like, you know, when you say intense, that sounds like a lot of what you do as well. Have you ever seen Rialto?
I have seen Rialto. Rialto's a little... I think I was getting things out of my system with Rialto.
Right, is that what you call it?
I'm writing a musical comedy next.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I kind of... I've always loved his work, Shane Meadows, and I got the chance to work with him. Stephen Graham is in it, actor of his generation.
Yeah.
And I got to do two-hander scenes with Stephen Graham within it, and that was a kind of a dream come true. It was about a guy coming back to
Ireland.
He's
Joseph, and he comes back to Ireland because his young son and ex-wife have moved to Australia, all this, yeah.
Yeah, and he was brought up a little for a while in care in Ireland, and he ran away from a care home when he was like 12 or 13, and he has had no contact with his sister since then. And he goes back to find his sister, and it kind of causes... huge problems.
Yeah.
And he goes,
stuff comes up from the past that might have been, well, I'm not going to say that might have been better left there, but
he was sexually, there was sexual abuse going on in the care home where the older boys were abusing the younger boys within the care home.
Yeah.
And he finds out who was the ringleader and he realizes he needs to find that person.
Right. Okay.
And so it's really heavy drama. It's very cathartic, though. There's extraordinary performances. Helen Bean and Niamh Alagher are both in it. Both rising stars, I would say. Niamh Alagher is just stratospheric, and Helen Bean is doing just extraordinary work at the moment. And so working with them was really brilliant, and then Stephen Graham as well, and then me.
Okay, and I might as well say the two, the writing and acting, which I mentioned earlier on. You know, which one or did one draw you to the arts in the first place? I mean, do you feel that you are one more than the other? Is the whole thing tied up in one for you since Adam and Paul? Because that was a really formative experience in your career, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I think that they both come from the same place in the brain, which is like the need to tell stories through character and dialogue. Like, and as an actor, you do that. As a writer, you create from the same space. One is, you know, you probably have more control as a writer. It's your story. You're getting it out there. It's probably also a little bit more isolating in that you work alone, you work at home, or, you know, if you have a little office or whatever. Whereas acting is more social. And I think the two, for me, balances out. You know, I love being in a rehearsal room with actors. It's always the crack, as they'd say.
It's always the crack. Well, listen, the Dublin Theatre Festival, we'll get to that in a second. How did you get involved, first of all, in the script from Conversations with Friends?
Conversations with Friends, Lenny Abrahamson is directing the
because he made Adam and Paul.
He made Adam and Paul. Yeah. He made Garage. He made a TV series that I wrote years ago called Prosperity. He's then, you know, went on to fame and fortune. He did
Indeed.
Room
of course,
and
yeah.
All of those things. And he did Normal People last year, which was a huge hit during lockdown. And so it was decided that they would adapt the Sally Rooney's first novel. And I'd been back working with Lenny on another script and they just said, look, would you be involved in this? And it was a big opportunity for me. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed engaging with Sally Rooney's work, the clarity that she has.
Yeah, just enjoyed engaging with Sally Rooney's work. What do you have to see? Like, I mean, she does quite simple sentences in some ways. Well, you know what I mean? Like, they're not exactly... And then suddenly something else seems to happen. And is that where she taps into the phenomenon, as the reason why she is the phenomenon she is? She's tapping into something that other people don't. Certainly not with the route she takes.
The sentences are very simple.
Yeah.
So they're very easy to read, but you find yourself suddenly in a place that's really complicated, emotional place that other writers would have struggled or would have lost you in trying to articulate. And she articulates a particular experience of younger people, late teens, early 20s, mid 20s into early 30s now in Ireland. She's unique in that.
Well, I'm assuming that you've probably read the book that's taken over the world at the moment. In other words, that's still fresh in your head. So as you have read it, are you looking at it as what could I do with this now? If it was made into a TV adaptation.
The new
adaptation.
One is very difficult to adapt, I would say, because almost...
But do you read it with that in the head?
That's what we all do at this stage. We're always looking for an adaptation. I don't think it's as easy an adaptation for television. I don't think it would work in television because a third of it is emails, big, quite complicated emails between two of the main two female characters.
That's just an obstacle for you to find a way around.
Show them typing
as a writer.
And thinking.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just go back to stay with that for a second.
Yes.
Then, so did you find it easy enough to do? Were you happy? Did you know? Like, did you have to collaborate more, I possibly imagine, with Lenny than you would with any Sally Rooney in terms of how this is going to look in terms of three programmes out of 12 on the television?
We did maybe 3 or 4 days where all of the writers were on a Zoom call and Lenny was there and blah, blah. And we just talked about the book and broke down the book into sections. There's a very strong editorial team in the company Element who are making it. And so they did a breakdowns into episodes. And basically, at the end of all of that, you got given the episodes that you had to write.
Oh, right.
And you... The clarity... Sally Rooney's work is so clear. It's so... It made it a little bit easier. Now, you also had to get the complexities right. So, you know, there was a lot of rewriting and there was a lot of moving things around. But
By me. By you yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Because they'd be, like, you know, say I was doing episodes 2 and 3 and there's also, they would go, well, maybe we need to move something from episode 3 into episode 5. Or, you know, the things would move around. So the editorial team are doing the overview of the whole series. And you're in your... sort of corner fighting the good fight for episodes 2 and 3 and making sure they're as full as possible. So there's a bit of that. I mean, I really enjoyed it and it was during lockdown. I had nothing else to do.
Yeah, but just as a matter of interest, like, it's very intense or very precise or very whatever, like concise and everything else, and presse of this, that and the other that might be written there that you have to try and get across of bits and pieces and ideas, etc. Mm-hmm. And in all of that, Zoom is a pain in the neck.
Zoom?
It's not like being in a room. I'd rather room than Zoom.
It's not, but then, you know, in the olden days when we did have to do meetings with people face to face, you find that you'd go into town and a whole day would be spent going into town, doing 1 hour meeting and then wandering around and then going home and it's
tea time. We all know this one too. Don't worry, I'm not sort of advocating for. Look at the amount of people who spend 90 minutes getting to work every day and 90 minutes getting back, and that's 3 hours gone of nonsense.
For sure.
And now it's brilliant that it's not there anymore.
The Zoom call is very clean. Now, I was sick of them by the end. Like, I was very sick of them.
Absolutely.
And a real life face-to-face meeting is kind of makes you giddy.
You couldn't have brought Delia.
I couldn't have brought Delia, and I get very guilty. I see her on the windowsill, inside the windowsill.
Yeah.
And I'd be waving her goodbye. It's very, very sad.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. All right. Yeah, we couldn't be having that.
We couldn't.
Okay, so conversations after sex.
Yes.
First of all, Dublin. First of all, it's going to be. It's going to be streamed after the week that it's on.
I think it streams. We will be filming
in the middle of October.
It will stream on the 16th of October, and it will be available then to download, basically, if you want to, or to watch online for a week after that. But it will be live before that, for 2 weeks before that, basically.
Right. And tickets on sale, I presume, but also...
Tickets are tight because they're all selling out.
Now, when you say all used to mean 100%, what percentage are we talking about at the theatre?
At the moment, we're talking about the theatres can only have a 60% capacity.
Right.
Which, like, before, we were heading into the rehearsal period with the thought that we could only have 50 people in there. So it has expanded and it's going to make it... A much better experience, I think, for an audience.
Where is it on?
It's on in the Project Arts Centre.
Oh, it's on the Project, yeah. Okay.
We do two previews out in Bray in the Mermaid before we go into town. So that's on the 1st and the 2nd. And then...
It's called Conversations After Sex. So what's it about, Conversations After Sex?
It does exactly as it says on the tin. Okay. Like, it is conversation. So it's about a woman who suffers a bereavement. And in the year after this bereavement, she finds it very difficult to connect with old friends or people that she's lost touch with. And so she's isolated and mourning and in grief and confused. And she uses her apps, her, you know, Tinder or all of those things.
The dating apps and the websites.
The dating apps
and
the websites and meeting people in bars. And she hooks up with strangers and she has sex with them.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they have conversations. And it's about how people who don't even know each other can still reach out to a stranger for the intimacy that they need in their life.
The essential, as in the importance of, as in the loneliness and the failure in life, connection.
Exactly.
Connection, connection and connection.
And it's that, which makes it sound very sad, but it's actually a comedy, as I've said before. It starts with a man looking for his underpants.
Hilarious.
Which is... It's one of those things that every play should have, really.
I can just imagine your comedy musical you mentioned earlier on. I'm not so sure it would be that funny necessarily at all. Okay, what was I going to say? Yeah, so Tammy then, like, that's that. So what else are you doing? Yeah, first of all, Rialto, like, that happened and went and did very well, didn't it?
It did. It opened it at the Venice Film Festival in 2019.
Which, by the way, there's a place, the arts place, I think, in Venice is called Rialto, isn't it?
Well, there's Rialto Bridge in Venice.
Yeah.
And I'm told that Rialto in Dublin got its name from the bridge, which they thought
but
looked
yours
like
is definitely Rialto Dublin.
Rialto Dublin.
Yeah.
That was good. I mean, we released it to the cinema and almost immediately the cinemas were closed.
Yeah.
And then I think we tried to
release
it.
Wow, that's a big effect that movie had.
I'm telling you, that was very powerful. And in the summertime, then we tried to release it again into the cinemas and again the cinemas were closed because of COVID. So, but it's had its life online. It has gone to various festivals. I think the acting in it is very beautiful. I think the two lads, Tom Vaughan Lawler and Tom Glencairny, are both really beautiful in it. Mm. And... it's a dark piece and it's a lonely piece, but sure, there's room for that in the world as well, you know.
Yes, indeed. And just getting back to Conversations After Sex, I mean, isolation, a bit of a topic nowadays, no question about it, not just because of the pandemic, but perhaps because of the way that we live our lives nowadays in terms of social media and, you know, all that and, you know, people feeling isolated.
Well, I think we're living through what I would, in my highfalutin manner, would describe as an age of fragmentation, in that the idea of, you know, what brings us together, nationalism or where you're living or the job that you have. Now we're working at home, where we move from, you know, we don't stay in the one place very often for long. We can drift through life and we find connection with people online. And so there's that fragmentation, I think, is very interesting. I'm interested in the way that people date nowadays, the Tinder and all of that kind of things. One of the guys in the play says... I met her in real life, which is a change because, you know, I'm much different in real life. And I think that's
true, though.
There is this still desire in people to connect, you know, even with all that fragmentation.
Do you know what is it is in us all?
It is in us all. I don't know, what is in it?
No, I thought you were involved in something to do with it, because one of the reasons I wanted to ask you, but the simple reason was that there's a guy in it that I think is great. I thought that had something to do with you as well. It's a movie. Did you ever see a movie about 4 years ago called The Square?
Yes.
As in, you know, the
yes, the arts.
Yes, exactly.
Building,
which is absolutely brilliant.
It's fantastic.
Well, the main guy in that, the poor sod, the leader in that. His name is, I don't know what his friend is, Klaus Bang or something
like that. Yeah,
and he's in this movie too. For some reason, I thought you were involved in it too. But
I'd love to be involved. Let them know if they want me to be involved. I am available.
I get the impression, the way your shoulders went up there, that it's kind of emotional for you to see theatre back in business, is it?
I love theatre, you know, and I love live storytelling and all of that. I think you know, one of the things that we have learned from the pandemic is actually, even in the small ways, like, I always thought that I wasn't a very social person, that I, you know, I'm not one for going out to pubs or
so the pandemic might have been good for
and
you.
And I thought the pandemic mightn't change
now
very
you realize,
much.
Yeah.
But we do have socializations. Like, I would go to the theatre and I might meet somebody there. I wouldn't have organised to meet them. Or I go to my local record shop and I say hello to the lads, or I might meet people in there.
But here's the thing you were giving out about earlier on, that you might only go to a meeting in town once, and like, I mean, for an hour, and suddenly it's the
A work meeting is a work meeting. That's different.
No, it's not. Suddenly the whole day is the phrase. That's great. Suddenly the whole day, because you're doing something that isn't necessarily supposedly constructive, but it's life.
But, you know, I as well as staying at home to do my work, I do like to go on a little wander around the town.
That's what, yeah, it's great. Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't want it interrupted with a work meeting.
No, but I mean, but you wouldn't have been in there if you were doing Zoom all the time, you see. This is the point.
This is true. I mean, there is this true. But I did learn that through the lockdowns that I lost a whole... I didn't realise how much socialisation I had in my life, and that it was when it was gone, I missed it terribly.
Yeah.
And I think that those ideas of people coming into a room and sitting and watching a story together and watching, even if it's a silly comedy or if it's a serious drama about who we are now and all of that, it's still sharing something with people.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Joni Mitchell kind of thing, you know, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. You didn't even know you had it in any way at all until you realised just how much you had.
And now I'm back.
And now you're back and feeling good and ready for anything.
I am.
Okay, so let's just take a look. This is Pop Baby, Conversations After Sex, Mark O'Halloran. Now, by the way, you have done everything with this. Have you written it and everything
I've
else?
I've written it. There's a director and there's a design team.
Right.
And there's musicians involved in it and all of that, and with the actors. So my job was only to write it.
Right.
Although I do pop in and give my tuppence worth every so often as well.
Right. And you haven't have you seen it performed from beginning to end yet?
I have. I saw it just before I came out here.
Oh,
we
really?
Saw the last run through in the rehearsal room.
Right.
And yeah, it's looking good.
But will you be at the back? Is it like, it's like the springtime for Hitler or something? Will you stand at the back of the theatre and see how badly it might go down? And suddenly it's the greatest thing ever. Or whatever.
Well, actually,
with people in it, I mean, like, you know human
you
beings.
You always think that you know a play, but when you put it up in front of an audience, that's when you know a play.
Oh, yeah.
Because an audience will suddenly guide the play through the sound of its laughter, or through, you know, you can hear an audience move a play around, and you only ever know a play when it's in front of an audience.
So might you lurk at the back some night?
Oh Jesus, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll do that.
That's him in the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Pop Baby, as I'll just read it from this, presents Conversations After Sex by Mark O'Halloran. That's who we're talking to here, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This dynamic piece of new writing by Mark O'Halloran previews at Mermaid Arts Centre on 1 and 2 of October. That's next Friday and Saturday,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is, sure
yeah. And it runs from the 7th to the 17th of October at the Project in the centre of Dublin City in Temple Bar there. And it's going to be streamed online on the 16th of October, and the tickets are 20 or 30 quid. It's DublinTheatreFestival.ie, and also thisispopbaby.com. And you can, there's loads of other stuff. Will you be festivaling? Will you?
I will be festivaling. There's a few things. There's a play on at the gate that Philly McMahon has written, that I definitely want to go and see. There's a few things. There's an opera that's with Enda Walsh, wrote the libretto. I'm going to see that. That's on up in the O'Reilly Theatre. There's a few things. I think we all, you know, if you want to have tickets for things, you got to move pretty quickly, because the limited seating, they sell more quickly. They sell out more quickly. That's the only thing.
Yeah, and like the things are good. Have you seen that movie herself with Claire Dunne?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's fantastic. Very good, isn't she?
Yeah. It's like sometimes a piece of work arrives and it announces a person. It announces a significant actor a significant writer.
And she's both in this. Yeah, astonishing.
And it announces just a great artist has arrived, you know. She's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, she was on with us there last week as well. Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, anything else? Are you a box setty kind of person or any of that now?
What am I watching?
Come on,
these
the pandemic.
Days?
Yourself,
the pandemic.
Indeed.
I mean, I watched all of the internet for the first lockdown, and I watched it all again for the second lockdown. I told you, I think I was talking to you before, we were talking about The Lion King or The Tiger King or whatever.
Oh yeah, there's a series during, coming out. Yeah, you were angry about that. It was brilliant.
I started the lockdown with these high ideas that I was going to, you know, read Middlemarch.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me read Middlemarch? Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
But you know what I ended up doing was watching 11 series of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, that's where it got to. And I will defend myself to
notice
the hilt with
the
that.
Silence. Okay, I'm dumbfounded. Okay.
Yeah,
I can't
well, I started with
that.
The high ideas that I was going to watch all the art movies, I was going to watch, I was going to read all the important books, and then I was like, just feed
By
me.
The way, have you ever read George Eliot? Do you think she's like, Middlemarch is the biggest? You don't have to start
read
there.
Read the first page. Several times.
That's like, what's it called? What do you call it? Finnegan's Wake. I got to 21 and that's it. Sorry.
You got to listen to that. Actually, there's a great, on Audible, there's a great, you know, recording of it with Jim Norton. Of Finnegan's Wake.
Maybe that's my door in.
To listen to, because he is so fantastic.
Do you get it? Do you? Have you got it?
Well, I wouldn't be able to read it, but I did enjoy listening to it for sure.
Mm. All right, maybe I'll give that a bash. I never thought of going for the reading part of it. All right, I mean the listening part of it. All right, listen, thanks very much, Mark. Come on.
Thank you.
And congratulations. And you're doing an awful lot of stuff. Any more big screen stuff you're doing? Or?
Big screen. I'm writing something for Lenny, perhaps, for next year, maybe. We're going. I'm doing a lot of book adaptations for television at the moment.
There's loads of stuff.
I wrote the libretto to an opera that's going on in New York in January.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Is this the Happy Musical?
This is actually an adaptation of the original stage play that became Rialto. So it is pure operatic.
All right, listen, good luck with the libretto. Thanks a million for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Good man, Mark O'Halloran it is. Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.